Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe. I'm your host and the pilot for now. And we've got my co-host in the chat room. Hello, everyone. Hey, Denise, Sandy, Denise calling from Australia. People got bounced out a little bit, but you are back. Welcome, guests. Your first time here and you're in the chat room. You can listen just as a guest, or if you'd like to interact in the chat room, you do need to sign up through BTR, just register. It's painless to do. Painless to do. And if you're listening by phone, that's great. But if you're in the chat or you're just surfing through the net and you caught our program and you want to get a reading, ask questions, let us know how your soul path is going. If you have questions on metaphysics, meditation, or healing, that number is 347-539-5122. And that's 347-539-5122. And press 1 on your keypad to get on air. Okay, the chat is saucy. We've got a saucy chat. We have a really, really great chat room. Why? Because of the people in the chat room. That's why. So they are my co-hosts, cohorts, co-pilots, and also sound engineers. They let me know how the sound is going. And also, there are a wealth of information and insight in the chat room. Artists, creatives, astrologers, metaphysicians, philosophers, just people living more and more awake, a wonderful community. Though we call this a podcast, it is actually a bit more than that. It really is a community of people all over the world that are living awake and awakening more and more. And it's a community of people that are becoming more and more soul-aligned, living soul-aligned. Like I like to say, soul-fueled and spirit-led. Yeah! So if you want to have, is there sound? Okay, I'm hoping there's sound. If you want to find out more about Awakenings, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com with your questions. If you have guest suggestions, topic suggestions, or email questions that you want answered on air, you can do that there. That's awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, and it'll get to me. A couple other resources I want to give you. And soulentree.com or soulentrepreneurship.com. And no sound in BTR in the chat. Sorry about that, gang. You can listen by phone, but hopefully maybe the sound is coming back on the chat. Sometimes we have a little computer glitches here. But let me know so you're hearing me by phone. That's great. See what I mean? We all do this together. We're all in this together. And that's kind of how life is anyway, right? So I am starting my, there's a new group for soulentrepreneurship.com. And if you want to find out more information about that, just email me at michellesoulentree.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Let's keep it easy. And we've got a second version of, damn, I'm listening to my phone because my computer doesn't have sound in BTR. Okie dokie. Okie dokie, Tammy, and thanks for putting in the chat the link. The Soul Entrepreneurship Program starts January 28th, Saturday. It's a six-month program. We also have a teleworkshop on emotional healing, emotional clearing, repatterning, and chakra balancing. So we'll be working with the subtle energy, and that's January 21st. And then we have an advanced group for the Soul Entrepreneurship Program starting in February. Those are for people that have already done the six-month program. First program, the beta program, was so, oh my gosh, popular, fulfilling. I really got a lot out of it as well, was that over half of the group asked to continue. So they actually did the program for a year. It's officially 6 months, but I said, hey, what the heck? I'm having a good time and good learning. And I've learned so much more. I've talked at some tech conferences. I've had some great meetings with amazing entrepreneur business minds and social media experts. So I'll be bringing that into the program. That's the one thing. People that work with me a long time, well, they work with me and then they come back, they say, oh, we always want to work with you because you're always learning. You're always growing and you do your own inner work. And, you know, I have my own, I have a coach and a mentor, a spiritual life coach, a resonance repatterning therapist. So I do my own inner work. I think everybody needs to, but I like to. I like it. That's why I do what I do. I always say, yes, it's magnanimous what I do, and I help so many people, but I do it because I love it and because it helps keep me on track as well. So it's kind of twofold there. Yeah, so that's why I think do what you love, and it's easy to do. It's not, to me, it's not work. You know, I don't even know how to say it with my clients when I say, well, we, you know, work together. We have to think of another word. Anybody have another word? Oh, Tamara, good. Okay, it was just your computer. So other people are getting in the chat. Hello, Divine Mystic. I see callers on the line. That's great. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad to get on air. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. I'm going to be answering just, I think, one email question that I've been getting over and over in various forms, and then we will get to callers. I want to give everyone a heads up as well. We have a great guest on today, somebody that I actually even know personally, and he's just a wonderful guy. I had a long meeting with him one time, gathering, get together, and I said, you are really, really soul aligned. You're really living your soul's purpose and spirit-led. And so the second half of the program, we have our Awakening Dialogue with filmmaker and author John Viscount. And he's an author, a playwright, a composer. He's the co-founder of Peace Now.com, which is a 1 billion person online signature campaign to enact a United Nations global resolution that John helped draft that brings in the departments and ministries of peace and governments worldwide. And he's also the creator of peace and education programs for school, colleges, and universities. That's his book, A Pep Talk for Humanity. And author of Mind, What Matters. And also a couple of, you know, we'll dive deeper into it, but a couple of films, Admissions and The Principal, which the actor and director James Cromwell is a part of. I think he directed The Principal, and Sharon, and he's also done projects with Sharon Stone. And he brings also A Course of Miracles into what he does, because he is a student, as they call it in Course in Miracles. I also call it practitioner. He's a student and practitioner of A Course in Miracles as well. And Tamara's saying, sounds great. I could use a pep talk. Yeah, let's kind of, shall we dive into that? Callers, please stay on the air. I'll be right with you at answering questions, because I love to do that and give readings, channel for you, tune in psychically. So again, that number is 347-539-5122. That, Tamara, that kind of brings up what I've been receiving from people. You know, personally, this is why I do the teleworkshops. You know, honestly, you guys, you know, let me put the word out, because people keep saying, oh, you don't tell everybody enough of what you do and the resources. So I've got a new website launching, which will be more interactive, and we're doing an app for it as well. The blog will go up. There's great material on there, soulplayground.life, and you can sign up for that blog. It's a great resource, a lot of information and insight. And I'm basically going to be giving a diagram of what Awakenings is and how it fits in with the soul alignment. What are we really doing here? Because that's the question I keep getting asked. I cover that quite a bit and kind of give the new map and terrain of the new emerging consciousness and how it's emerging and the new paradigm that we're all co-creating. If you're interested in that, if you're interested in finding your soul's purpose, finding out what your modes of expression are, and really diving deep into spiritual principles, metaphysics, and how they apply in a practical way, the resource on dailyohm.com is my course, Navigating Your Greatest Soul Shift. And this is the greatest soul shift. We are in a monumental time, and I think everybody knows that. You feel it, right? Everybody knows it. Everybody feels it. And I know how it looks. This is why I'm doing my monthly teleworkshop, Soul Path teleworkshop. This is what I came in to do. This is what I've been doing since 4 years old. This is what I've been channeling and talking about. This is why I love this time, but it scares the out of me too. But I go caution awareness because the new emerging conscious is there as us, through us. We've got to remember the unifying principle, that is the principle right now. It's unification, and the unifying principle is love, is cohesiveness. Now, I know how it looks out there. I know. I see it. I'm dealing with it. During the election, I had people emailing me and texting me and calling me as early as 3 a.m. What am I going to do? I don't know. Or is what we're doing making sense? I want to move. Some people wanted to die. So, yeah, is it going to be a little whirly-burly, scary? Yes, there is a great disruption that's happening. But that's also because Pluto and Capricorn, just wait till Pluto goes into Aquarius. And it's opposing Uranus, right? There's oppositions and squares that are happening. If you want to look at it astrologically, it's squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. It's bringing everything to the forefront. Those of you that have been traveling with me for a while, you've heard me talk about this from 2003 on, that this would be happening, that it's the wheat from the chaff. It's separating out, not in defensiveness, but where do you belong that you can best thrive? The soul operates by resonance. However, not by opposition, but by complement. So we have a word kind of, we've been playing out a lot about separation or separating out, which we separate out. That's what the soul does. We separate out as individuated aspects of the all that is, or as God. We separate out. That's what the soul is. That's what we are all. You know, what we all are, you know, as individual beings or individuated beings. The old paradigm, the old game, and some of it was misinformation, and some of it was, hey, we're focused on separating, separation. We're focused on us and them, and love and hate, all these opposites, which, by the way, to me, love has no opposite, just like joy has no opposite. They're feeling tones. They're states of being, they're states of conscious awareness, whereas emotions have opposites. Like you could be happy, you could be sad, you could be, you know, it's like you could be up, you could be down, right? There's these opposites. I like, I hate, I don't like, I like, you know. So we're relearning so much, but guess what, everybody? It's in you. The awakenings, the succession of awakenings that are happening are encoded within you. Just like when you plant a seed, an apple seed, it's encoded to be an apple. It's encoded to be an apple seed. You don't have to wish in person. So, yes, there seems to be a lot of opposite, and there is, but there already was. So we've been working on clearing the astral plane, clearing the etheric plane, which is first forms of manifestation come through vibration, tone, wavelength. Then they go into thought form. And then that energy in motion, right? From that form, that energy in motion goes into physical form. So we're working a lot with the astral plane. We have since the late 80s when we started going into the harmonizing principle, the harmonic convergence. What's happening now, we're in the awakenings process, and part of that process is the converging flow where everything is happening all at once, right? All of you guys are going, wow, I feel so connected. I'm connecting to my soul. I'm opening up. I'm more intuitive. I'm a healer. I love everybody. And then, oh, my God, there's war. There are people bullying. There's anger. There's hate crimes. There's crimes against women. There's, you know, racial. And do we go backwards? No. I will give you a very professional term for it. Popping the zit. Popping the zit. Do you remember in adolescence? Where that little zit is there, it's underneath, it's a blemish, and you can feel it, but you can see it. Or sometimes you can't see it, but you can feel it. It's a little bump. You know it's not supposed to be there. And then it gets a little higher, and it's a little blemishy, and you don't want it there. And so what do? You pop. And what happens when you pop? It makes a mess. Your mother says, don't pop it, don't pop it. Leave it alone, leave it alone. And Tamara was going to say, I was going to say, the has hit the fan. Well, more hitting the fan and more zit popping to happen. And so what's happened is there's been an intervention, divine intervention, a great disruption to bring all of this to the forefront. And what you need to do as healers, light workers, metaphysicians, light barriers, carriers, you know, the light, star seeds, however you term yourself, people that are living more consciously, people that want more peace in the world. You have to work on yourself first and foremost, your emotional body. Nothing changes. I don't care how many protests or demonstrations. Nothing changes until enough people individually change, and then there's some type of tipping point. You know the story of the 100th monkey. You know, something in the resonant fields, the morphogenic fields changes, and there becomes a new trend. Okay, we see this all the time. And so that's how this world works. That's how the earth plane works. But whatever is manifested in physical form, denser physical form, has a corresponding emotional blueprint, thought form. That's what a thought form is, and an energetic blueprint or energetic matrix or signature frequency to it. When it's no longer needed or necessary, no longer needed to play out, it becomes extinct. That's how this world works. So the more that we can connect with peace within ourselves and less judgment and doing the inner work, whether it's, you know, connecting, you know, podcasts like this, doing what you can, but you have to do your own work. It doesn't matter. Otherwise, it's like empty ritual. It doesn't have the juju. It doesn't have the juice. It doesn't care. The universe doesn't care. Consciousness is an inside thing. We cannot fool the universe. So if your home is a mess, your mind is a mess, and you're like self-sacrificing and being a martyr and you're doing all these marches, but you're angry as all the time and you're acting out, guess what? You're not really contributing. You are a little, but it's like in the vibrational tone scale, you know, instead of maybe contributing 10.2, you know, or you know, bits of, you know, of light, it's probably like 4.2 or 2.2. So crystal balls in the chat, I've been visualizing a different reality for me, and I'm much happier. I think about what I want to create that will help people or the planet. Yes, that's what we're all to do. We're not only doing this for ourselves, but those that are around us and those that come after us. Think like the Native Americans talk about seven generations. If you look back in history, the history of time, if you look, there's always people at the forefront that initiate the change. That hasn't changed. Now, what I invite you all to do is look below the surface to what is actually happening. What are you actually feeling? Yes, there is a lot of opposition. There's a lot of oppositional forces. You hear the discord, the dissonance, the us against them. How could they have somebody like this? What is this going on? All the war, you know, all this, you know, it's very But that was there already. What's happening is the transparency is coming there. The reality to hit more of the people in the mainstream consciousness, the mainstream awareness, that, boom, this is really going on. This is the rules. This is what people have been living out. So it's part of going to a different system, creating new systems. First and foremost, of feeling, believing, thought, and living. And then there is some overhauling of some transformation of some on some systems. You're really going to see it 2020 to 2025. I mean, that's where we're going. That you think things are chaotic now. But what I want to invite you again, let's go back to this, is don't get caught up on what it looks like or seems like. That's right. Remember that we're in the awakenings process, so everything's awakening in all sectors, and that, because it is happening. It's happening within you. It's happening within me. It's happening to those around you in a different way. And the converging flow means everything is happening all at once, the coming together and the seemingly pulling apart. We're in the harmony through conflict time. So there's conflict, but out of the conflict there becomes resolution. There becomes understanding. There becomes a harmonizing. And Tamara in the chat just brought up a very, very good point. We have to be mindful of the thoughts we dwell on. Yes, dwell. Dweller. Dwell is a living space, right? What are you living with in your mindset, in your world? I will tell you, negative thoughts here and there, worry here and there, concern, doubt, fear, not a big deal, not going to bother you, not going to create a non-life enhancing reality. But when those thoughts or those feelings become predominant, when that becomes your dwelling, when that's what you're living, not just visiting, because we all visit there, we all get depressed, we get down, we have to work through stuff. But if you're dwelling there, then that is going to shape your reality by that tone, that color, that vibrational frequency or complex of frequencies. And I say use your spiritual tools, meditation, mindfulness. If you go to my, it hasn't been migrated over yet, but selfandlight.com, projection, perception. I've got inner child work. You heal yourself, you move into the higher, more expanded emotional tone scale or a more expanded vibrational frequency. So it's not so bad, denser frequencies. You know, we're changing that. It's like we're these fine instruments. We're meant to play it all, but not to stay stuck. I do think on my soulplayground.com or soulplayground.life, the projection perception is there. My YouTube channel, Lightbeam21, there's great tools. Use the tools. I use them daily to align. You know, sometimes minute by minute, depending what I'm going through, or if I'm in a meeting, you know, or I'm going to a meeting, you know, I've been doing meeting with these production companies. It can be a little, you know, off-putting, a little, I align to my soul. I connect to my higher self, you know, protect my little wounded ego part and say, okay, come on, let's just have fun with this. Let's just see where it goes. So if it does take conscious effort, it doesn't have to be work, but it does take conscious effort to remain aligned to your soul, to the highest aspect of your being. But there's no excuse not to do it. There's so much out there that's not that expensive to free. You know, even my daily own course, my God, there's a sliding scale for it. You know, I've kept my soul entrepreneurship program very, very reasonable. You get a lot of support there, you know, email, voice note support. We meet once a month. There's a lot of individual support and then the group support. My Soul Path Tele workshops are very reasonably priced, you know, very nominally. But my thing is support. I'm into giving the support, and because you have to have the support. And it's fun. You connect with like-minded individuals. You know, so there's so much that you can do out there. What I want to leave you with, and then we're going to get to the phone calls, is that you do make a difference. And we make a difference first with our own mindset. How are we living? Because in the new paradigm, it's about authenticity. what we also call in social media, you know, business is a trust factor. It's important. And you can't lie. People are getting more attuned. They don't realize it. Some people do, but a lot of people don't realize, hey, we're becoming more intuitive. So they know when something is off. So it's really part of the waking up process is being yourself and living yourself authentically so that you attract the right people and right circumstances to yourself. So you move out of linear time into synchronistic timing, that divine right timing, not opposing anybody that how you're living is better or more evolved, but that it's better for you. It's right for you. No, that's the key, that it's right for you. So when we're living in a way that something is right for us, it's easier for us to not just tolerate or respect, but honor the sacredness of how others are living. So we are going there. I know how it looks, and I know what's being initiated. We don't even have to talk about it. We know in the States. We can see in the main countries, we can look and see what's going on in our world. And I will tell you, don't get caught up in how it looks. Remember the spiritual principles. Re-listen to my podcast. And you'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said that was going to happen. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But, oh, my God, look at it, opened up this. Or, oh, God, it wasn't that bad. Or, oh, now this came through. So there. Remember, we are in the unifying part of the awakenings. We're left the idea of separation, but we are in that phase of harmony through conflict. So yes, there'll be inner conflict, there'll be outer conflict, but we are getting to the space of remembering the truth of who we are on a bigger level and playing a bigger game, playing the game of the soul and not the wounded constructed ego. All right, let us get to call. 802-878, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about my finances. My husband passed away about a year and a half ago. And,
so sorry.
We're trying.
What's your first name, sweetie? What's
Heidi.
Your first name?
Heidi.
Heidi, okay. Welcome, Heidi. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. And his business partner and I have been trying to sell the inn, and we haven't had any luck. And I'm just wondering if there's a true reason for it. Is it priced too high? Or did we just have a lousy realtor? Is it going to sell?
Price too high. I feel like he didn't want to sell, but I'm feeling more springtime. Is it something that is, what am I getting?
It's
seasonal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it feels like, well, I'm getting a couple things. Work.
It is
price,
a lot of work.
But also, and did the partner not really want to sell it? Did he want to try to make a go of it?
Well, I don't know if he really wanted to sell it or not. I think he did. I mean, he was the one that initially said, let's list it. It was his best friend that he lost. So, I mean, I think that there's some emotions there that once this sells, that tie is gone.
Okay. So that has to be worked out. I would say to look for movement. I know it's a little bit further off, but May, June.
Okay.
I'm really feeling more springtime. Yeah, Heidi. Look for some movement at that time period. You may have to lower it. I feel like it's a couple that becomes involved with it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. And you might have to hold some paper. I don't know. It is a little bit hard to sell. I don't know if it's the area combination that it's a little more depressed financially.
The
market.
It's a very popular, I mean, it's on Cape Cod. It's a very popular area with, you know, reasonable rates and stuff.
Yeah, but it's the right people. I feel like it's couple energy. It's like somebody coming in and really wanting to fix it up, do the work.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of labor of love. So it's getting the right people. Will it sell? Absolutely. I'm looking at more towards that, more towards probably the season when people are coming in, then they fix it up for the next season. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
All right, Heidi.
All right.
Big
Thank
hug
you.
To you. You're
Thank
welcome.
You so much.
You're welcome, sweetie. Hi, 917-756. Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache.
Hi. So I was wondering, career. Oh, Liliana.
Hi, Liliana.
Hi. So I was wondering. Well, actually, I'm in a relationship, and it just he's definitely a soulmate, but
yes.
You're
not sure of life mate.
I don't know if he's my life mate. There's no sexual connection, but
yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm just wondering if maybe I'm overreacting or maybe the grass
is
greener.
Yeah, I feel more I feel more you're not sure he's the one you want to be with, a life mate. You're not sure if there's enough there. I'm hearing let it unfold further, but just be open. You know, we're at an interesting crossroads right now. And for a lot of people, the energy, I would say spring, summer, there's going to be a lot more revealed. And then again, October, November. So I would say if you don't have to make major decisions right now, it's a good idea. You know, focus on yourself, your life. We're still in the residue of the Mercury retrograde that we had at the end of December. And this guy, I like him, but I'm not sure. I don't know life mate. I feel like there's something is missing for you.
Yeah, that's what I feel too. And it's just like really beneath me. And it's like I keep having the feeling that I have to let it go. But yeah, so. Okay.
You just have to accept him. Here's what my guides would tell. This month in February is a lot about acceptance of what is. So I would say, you know, be with it, but you need to be open. You need to accept it for what it is, which there is a great connection. I just don't see life mate. I feel like there's somebody else that's coming in for you that's going to be more of a fit. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like if you don't cut it out now, then you're going to lose the opportunity to really bring in that person that's going to be a life mate. So
who says that?
Who
says that?
Feeling. Me.
Okay, you do what you want, but I'm going to tell you that's an inaccurate. You don't have to let go. That's a very old paradigm that you have to let go of something to bring something else in, because that's based on the ego. Whatever is meant to come in, if you're open to it, if you're not clinging, if you're in the process of the unfolding or living your life, you know, there's plenty of people that have been with people and then somebody else comes in or they, you know, there's so many configurations. Some people don't get divorced and somebody else comes in. Some people get divorced right away. They don't or leave somebody and they meet somebody right away. Some people meet somebody 7, 8, 10, 20 years later. So, yeah, don't get caught up in that. Your thing is to accept what is, because I feel like you've been trying to change it or morph it. There's a gift in the relationship. I just don't feel life partnership. And that person will be coming, and it will be a kind of a surprise, meeting, chance meeting, not something that you're really expecting. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, the letting go for you is letting go of the outcome, which many of us are going through that right now, letting go of the outcome and trying to make something happen and just be with what is and flourish and just flourish on your own. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a higher level of detachment because you're being asked to love, you're being asked to have a connection, but not attached to the outcome. And the other one I feel will be very, like I said, very fast. All right, Liliana?
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hi, 646-729. You're on Awakenings.
Hey, Michelle. This is Owen.
Hey, Owen. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
And you moved,
I moved, yes. I'm in a new city, and I've been here for a couple months, and I'm just settling in. I've been sort of traveling back home and having friends visit, and now I'm really just like settling in. So it's going well.
Wonderful.
But my question is, I just entered my Saturn return, and I just wanted to know if you have any insights for what that means for me this next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've got Saturn, and what's your Saturn in?
I think Sagittarius, which is also my sun sign.
Oh, okay. So you got a little, give me your birth date here. Well, one of the things that the Saturn return, it has a lot to do with structure, and it's actually structuring your life for the next 7 years, actually more than 7 years, but really specifically or more honed in or highlighted 7 years. So usually you are getting a better foundation, a better sense of yourself. In some traditions, it's thought that we really start earthing during our Saturn return, really becoming more grounded or on the earth plane, you know, at that time. So you're looking at your gifts, your talents, your gifts, and how do you want to use them? You know, what needs to be cleared up for yourself, you know, emotional clearing, repatterning, would use the beliefs that you need to work on, you know, assessing where am I now, where was I, where do I want to go? And usually there are Saturnian tests, but they come from deep within us that have to do with things like patience, persistent effort, building something or creating something. I love my Saturn return. A lot of people don't like theirs. I had some of the best times in my life during, because my gifts really came out, all of them. You know, I was modeling, I was acting, I was traveling around the world, I was doing healing work, my psychic abilities, my channeling really came out at that time as well. So I'd already been channeling and psychic, but I mean, it really, I started working with the guides. It just, there was a lot, but there was a lot of challenge too. I would say any return, if you can align more to your spiritual nature, connect more with your soul, your uniqueness, your individuality. In Sag, a lot of times it has to do with beliefs, you know, philosophy. What's your philosophy in life? What is your, you know, how well do you do with quote-unquote limitation? Because Saturn brings a level of limitation. I would say Saturn holds our feet to the coals, to the fire, till we get it. And we're like, ow, 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 you know, it's burning, it's burning. But there's a limitation there. See, this is the one thing, this is why it took so long for people to embrace the soul. And people, a lot of people still don't really understand what the soul is. There is limitation in life. So when you hear people like people that follow The Secret like to say, well, you can have anything you want. All you have to do is meditate on it or do an affirmation. Well, au contraire, not. If it's not within your soul's realm, that's what people have to wake up to. There is limitation on the earth plane. In the infinite universe of the all that is, that we are a part of, there is no limitation. There's infinite possibilities. We have infinite possibilities within our soul blueprint, our soul range. And so Saturn, when you have your Saturn return, you have the first chance to wake up to this. You know, then you have some other chances, you know, when there's other aspectings. And I think that the second return really, I think that's, but we've got a great astrologer in the chat, so she could probably put some info. But I think, you know, around 51, 52, it's a real slap in the face of, hey, there is limitation. So the soul is kind of here to wake everybody up, the oversouls, and the whole idea is like, stop trying to say you can have everything and do everything, accept where you're at, bless it, and find out who the hell you are. Basically, who are you? You know, what are you about? And live that life, not somebody else's life, what looks hipper or cooler, or, you know, whatever. So that's what you can expect. But it again, if you go with the energy, just like any other cycle, it can be amazing. You know, I'm not going to say it's not challenging, but it can be quite amazing. You know, Tamara put, I love it. Find out who the hell you are. Yeah. I guess the thing is more like, how are you? Because we're all spiritual beings, that we have the soul, and from the soul we extend out into a body. So we're a soul with a body. But the problem is people have been living these lives, and we've been taught to that, you know, who are you? You know, I'm this, I'm an actor, I'm a model, I'm an astronaut, I'm a this. And no, those are all just ways of expressing. But how you do your life, what's authentic to you, exciting to you, fulfilling to you, that is soul connected living. So your Saturn return gives you the opportunity to find out, to celebrate and connect more to your authenticity, your authentic living.
Cool.
And create
a flexible
philosophy or system around that. But when I say flexible, because you will change, you know.
Right.
How you live will change. Good. Hmm. Well, I hope that gives some insight.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Blessings. Hi, 323-638. You're on air.
Hey, Michelle, it's me. Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can.
It's Zelda.
Zelda?
Yeah.
Zelda, I recognize your voice. Yeah. Welcome, Zelda.
Thank you. I'm calling to ask about insight on a certain dynamic. It's regarding my sister. I feel like she seems to have chosen to cut me off from communicating with her because I don't match up to her expectations.
As you should say,
but
she
doesn't
understand.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't understand you. That's the first thing I got when you said cut off. I heard the sister say, I just don't understand. What is she doing? I just don't understand her. Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like I don't match up or measure up to her expectations of what she thinks I should do for her. But I like this new way of interacting with her because it feels more balanced, even if she doesn't like it.
Yes. Good. So what's the problem, darling?
I was just asking for insight because I didn't understand it. So,
yeah.
So it sounds like...
Here's the thing. You're moving, and this is what I was talking about in the beginning of the program, is that we're all having to do this. The difference is we're doing it without... Crystal Bold Gretna saying, welcome to the club, Zelda. Sisters, yeah. See, in the old paradigm, the old model, we had to try to fit in, right? We had to be that square peg trying to cram ourselves in a round hole. When we're living more from the soul, we recognize it's by resonance. That doesn't mean we're not going to have some dissonance. But what it is we're to follow and be around people that are more resonate with us. Now, here's the difference. It's not the Piscean age that's, you know, us against them or this group or this guru or this religion. There's a universality. And when we start living this way more, things shift on the inner plane, right? People become more, the potential is there. I've seen it. People become more open to us. We become more open to them. You're really getting pushed, Zelda, to really focus on to live that way, you know. Let her have her thoughts about what she likes or expectations. What I find, when people are like that, because a long time ago they shut off, they shut down, and maybe they would like to be doing what you're doing, but they're locked into a certain lifestyle. Or with her, she just doesn't understand, you know. I think I shared it, and this is relevant. I'll share it, this again. A few weeks ago on the podcast, I was sharing how one of my brothers, actually a couple of them, one of them when I was into herbology, before a lot of people, you know, more mainstream was, he thought it was so weird and I didn't eat meat and all this stuff. And then he's a cyclist. Later, his buddies, one of the guys that won all these awards was into that, and he brought me over to his house. Oh, my sister's into that. She loves this. You know, all of a sudden he turned, you know, like 180, but I had to let go of it. And one of my other siblings, I gave him my meditations. It just sounds like my sister. Oh, that's all right. You know, and he just didn't get it. Then one day his wife tells me, we've been listening to your podcast and we listen to your YouTube videos. And my brother's like, yeah, I listen to your videos too. He goes, I don't always know what they say, but it's calming. It's peaceful, you know? And I'm Then they asked me to give their son, who is a wonderful little starseed and light being, was just kind of going down a wrong little path. So I had the little auntie talk. And they said, can you give him something, some of your CDs, and talk to him? So I gave him the CDs, gave him some, you know, meditations to do. Now, I'm telling you this, Zelda, because these people had no clue what I was doing. They'd be like, we'd be at family gatherings. We're not really sure what Michelle does, but, you know.
Okay.
I let it go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can have their opinion. Now they listen to the show, they go to the YouTube, they use my tools with their kids. Some of it they understand, some of it they don't. They just say, something's there, we like what you say, we're getting, you know, healing, we feel good, it's like a meditation, it's calming. So your big gift for you is to allow yourself to follow your spiritual nudge. Spirit is moving you in a direction. Now, this is important on the inner plane, in your mind, not in judgment or not in my sister's wrong and I'm right, or my sister's right and I'm wrong, or I'm on a weird path and she's on a more mainstream. No. Just follow and just look at her and go, oh, okay. She doesn't quite understand, but that's okay. She's doing her little thing. And just follow the spiritual energy. Fueling your soul, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because you're
it makes it.
Do you love lighter?
Oh, go ahead.
Right.
Uh huh.
Lighter. We're lightening up. And Crystal Bowles is talking in the chat. I've learned to give her space and still be who I need to be. Yeah, you know, the old paradigm. We really tried to proselytize to people and. Yes, are there healthier ways of being? Are there more life-enhancing ways of being? Obviously, yes. You know, but the judgment of it, you know, again, remember, consciousness is an inside thing. So as you're living more consciously awake and more aware, it is affecting. I will tell you, more so than any marches, any best-selling book, it's the person that's living more authentically and consciously and lovingly, that's radiating out into the universe, and that's what gets picked up. We have to remember, we've had guests on, especially Dr., you know, Bruce Lipton talked about this, Jude Curavan talked about this, Dr. Hawking's, you know, Stephen Hawking's The Power versus Force. We have to remember the unifying principle, love, actually has more juice than negativity. We forget that. We forget.
That's
isn't
so true.
Exciting? So, right? Yeah. You got to remember that, right?
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
you know, 10% of the love juice, the consciousness, the duality, moving out of the extremes of polarity, even if it's one person or 10 people, actually is creating more change in the world and in the universe than thousands of people in opposition. This is why it's so important. The guides have said, watch our language. We have to study, you know, I have to remember, don't say good, bad. It's life enhancing. Don't get in opposition, you know. It's like, how do we have this president in here? How is it? Oh, my God. Oh, you know, okay, you can say that a little bit. But don't live there. Do you know what I mean? We have to go, okay, there's something grander happening. We're all being used as a vehicle or a tool. I choose to see this is a step in the unifying direction. And that's what you're being asked to do with your family.
Okay.
Right?
I get it.
You see that? You get it.
Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
You do. Woo, yes, you do.
I love your insights. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're really, really welcome.
Okay.
Love that. Thanks for the question. It was a great one. Tamara in the chat saying, whoa, are we on fire or what? I'm so tingly. wow, that's what I love doing this program. Great insights for all of you and great questions that open up and that I need to learn. We have to remember the stronger principle, the unifying principle is love. And though negativity might be harsher, might be louder, might be brasher, what the universe is going to use to create with, especially now that we have moved into the unifying process. We're not in the separating out since the 80s, late 80s, that harmonic convergence. We have decided to harmonize. That is the greater cause. That's the greater focus. We all have to remember that. no matter how it looks. And as Tamara is saying in the chat, we must keep our hearts open. So true. All right, everyone, it's time for our awakening dialogue. If you are still on air, just wait. If you had questions or comments that didn't get answered or wanted a reading, I'm here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time, and we'll pick up. Talk about heart open. As Tammy is saying in the chat, our guest today definitely has his heart open, very giving. As I said at the top of the program, he's a student and practitioner of A Course in Miracles and uses that in the work that he does out in the world. We have with us today John Viscount, who's a filmmaker, author, playwright, composer, and he's the co-founder of PeaceNow.com. He's also written a book called Mind What Matters, A Pep Talk for Humanity. He's got a multiple focus on cyberbullying and anti-bullying in general, and that is really illustrated in his two projects, Admissions and The Principle, which I believe was directed by James Cromwell. He's worked with James Cromwell on a number of projects, as well as Sharon Stone also. And just a wonderful being, and as I would like to say, very soul-fueled and spirit-led. He's also the creator of the Peace Education Program for schools, colleges, and university. And I want to welcome to the program John Viscount. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you, Michelle. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, wonderful to have you here. So absolutely wonderful. And get a tickle out of our guests always are aligned with what we've been talking about at the beginning of the program. And because really what I think about with your work is this heart-centered, or helping people come back to the heart and come back from being overly separated out or feeling separate or feeling oppositional. Which to me is bullying, people that bully, children that bully, adults that bully don't feel safe. They're living in a world of us and them, or I've been hurt, now I'm going to hurt you. And so you're getting to that heart, the heart of the matter with that.
Well, that's very kind.
Go ahead.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
So I want to ask you how you started this, or maybe even your first awakening, and how that translated into the work that you're doing with your books and films.
Sure. Well, I think as for a lot of people who end up on the spiritual path, it started with suffering. I had a wonderful childhood up till about when I was 14, and my parents split apart, and my mother kind of took me on the road with her. And we didn't really have enough money to survive, and I was kind of forced into roles of great responsibility at a young age. And so I wasn't really able to express my frustration and my suffering to her, because I felt if I did, she would fall apart. So instead, I kind of internalized it, and as often happens, it started to manifest in physical stuff. And the worst way it manifested was a syndrome called cluster headaches. And for those who don't know about cluster headaches, they're like migraine headaches, but they're condensed down into like 3 or 4 hours. And the real problem with them is that they come in great clusters. So once you get your first headache, you know you're in for about a 2 to 3 month ride where you're going to get 50 to 60 more of these headaches. And they literally take over your life. They come at all times of day and night. They come during school. They come during dinner, and they just disrupt everything. And the American Medical Association actually termed them as one of the worst pains known to mankind, and their nickname is suicide headaches, because people actually committed suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I actually dealt with these for about 15 years, from age 15 to about 30, and then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and said, there has to be a better way to process this pain and the suffering. So I just dove into spiritual teachings. I started with Buddhism, and I just started reading everything I could get my hands on, and eventually ended up at Course in Miracles, which was really an excellent path for learning true forgiveness. And eventually I healed myself of all my physical ailments. So then when that happened, I just felt an intense desire to share these wonderful teachings that had done so much for me with other folks who I knew might be suffering from similar things. So I started developing the skills of script writing and book writing and playwriting and music and stuff like that to create vehicles with which to deliver the teachings that I had experienced in book form. So those that might not want to pick up a book and read the whole book could get these in a shorter format and get the same teachings in mediums that they were familiar with ingesting, like music and film and stuff like that. And so now I've just been spending, you know, quite a few years creating a large catalog of work which addresses a number of societal challenges like human trafficking, homelessness, PTSD, the eradication of guinea worm disease, homeless children of La Paz, Bolivia, terminal illness, divorce, and other issues like that. It's just become the great joy of my life. And I think what you realize on this path is you're the luckiest person in the world when you figure out that in healing others is the greatest way to heal yourself. And when you get on that path, you have endless energy to continue to do so because the joy of lifting people up is really what we're here for on this earth.
Yeah. It is so nice to kind of forget yourself and get lost in someone else, you know, in helping someone else. It's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, that's the whole key. It's kind of an illusion because you're born into a separate body, but the whole key to finding peace is to see beyond the veil of the physical world to the unity state beyond the physical world, and that's where you find everlasting peace, and that's what all the great masters talk about. Mm. I think what a lot of people don't really understand about meditation is that what you're essentially doing is you're turning off your small little self and you're tuning into the larger universal mind, and that's where true salvation comes from.
So that's important, turning off the small mind. Does that connect us more to each other if we're getting out of that small mind?
Yeah, in my humble opinion, there's no question. It's in fact, it's the small little mind that is the biggest impediment to your ultimate happiness. And that's what's so ironic about this existence, because you're born into this body, and it actually gives you propaganda for a lie, because the senses tell you of a world of separate interests and separate bodies, where all the spiritual masters who are able to pierce the veil of this world, see beyond it, say, no, that's not what this is about. It's actually about unity. And now even quantum physicists are backing this up with their studies, saying that there really is no here and there is no there because we're all connected. So the great challenge is to unlearn the things that come into your physical senses every day and to learn to train your mind to disregard those and to always seek out unity. And when you seek unity, then you get to truly live in a heavenly state of mind while you're still here on earth.
I love that. So, see, that's kind of what I'm saying. So I love what you're with the seeking the unity. So, oh, John, you're such a wealth of insight. And I mean, people are feeling your heart energy in the chat as well. How do we seek that unity, with what is going on in the world? We could see what we could point fingers politically, environmentally, you know, we could point bullying, you know, the, you know, big people bullying, little people. How do we see beyond what is appearing to be that non-unity or that separation?
I think it's really important to train your mind to be an ally. So it is an agent of motivation. And you do that with very simple spiritual mantras which guide your thinking. And one of the best mantras I ever came across which liberated me was this very simple way of looking at the world. Everyone feels the world is extremely complicated and there's all these different things going on. But if you really look at it on a deep level, there's only one of two things that's ever happening. People are either expressing love by being kind and loving and joining with you in love, or they're crying out for love by being attacky, by being judgmental and stuff like that. So this means your perfect response in every encounter is just to be loving. Because if people are expressing love by being kind, you just join with them in love. If they're showing that they have a lack of love, you join with them in love and give them the love that they're missing and give them a hand up. And that's the thing to remember about bullies. If you really want to heal our world, you can't just love the victim. You have to love the bully too. Because what's coming out of a bully is proof of the toxicity that's in their heart and the truly profound suffering they're undergoing. No one needs to punish a bully. A bully is being punished by the way they think and by the way they're processing the world. There's no hell like seeing everyone in this world as being separate from you and being someone you want to denigrate. Mm-hmm. Imagine going through a whole lifetime like that. And if you take it from a Buddhist standpoint, karmically, you're really messing with yourself too. As the Buddhists say, this is a moral universe because the greatest reward and punishment in life is just being who you are. So even the bullies need a hand up if you really want to heal our world.
Mm. So really it goes back, oh, people are going, wow, so great, so true in the chat. So really it does go back to almost that idea, if you know more, you're more aware, or you have more love, hold that space, you know, instead of cutting off, which in so many doctrines we've been taught to cut off, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what people don't also realize is that living is really just practicing for dying. You're only alive for a really short amount of time as this separate entity that you look at each day in the mirror. And so what you really want to do while you're alive is to develop healthy mental habit energies. Because when you die, you will leave your body and all you will be your mind and your thoughts. So this world really becomes the perfect school for practicing for dying. So in a sense, I believe that the body itself is kind of an inflammation of the soul. If you look at the way it operates, all the demands it makes on your times, all the things you have to do to keep it going every day, all the grooming, all the times it just makes you scratch an itch, it's really an inflammatory device. So I think it's kind of a low vibration it's a low vibration vehicle compared to the pure consciousness that the masters speak of. So I think what you want to groom yourself to do is while you're alive is to be able to be at home in pure consciousness when you leave the body. And the way you do that is by not taking your body too seriously, not falling prey to the propaganda that your senses bring in every day telling you you're actually separate from other beings, and learn to be in a state of unity while you're still here on Earth. And so then when you leave your body, that will be the mental habit energy that you will coalesce around, and then you will make the most of eternity.
Mm, wow. So somebody's putting in the chat, how you choose to perceive it with your mind separately or with your heart and mind. And they're asking, is this a game of the mind then? So a lot of it seems like what you're talking about has to do with our state of mind.
Yeah, well, absolutely. If you really look at how the senses work, you don't actually feel with your senses. You feel with your mind. You don't actually think with your brain. You think with your mind. If you look at people who've been reincarnated, people could have died 300 years ago in a horrible accident where there maybe something devastating happened to their brain. Well, they're reborn, and their mind is working fine. They have that karmic, you know, an inheritance they have to deal with, but it's the mind that carries on. And this isn't my belief system. This belief system has been around for thousands of years. So that's right. Why the title of my book is Mind What Matters, because it is your mind that matters most. It's much more important than the body. It's a thing that you need to cultivate every day and make it just the most perfect running machine in your whole life, because that's the only thing in the whole world that lasts is your mind.
Mm. Wow. Now, John, how did you get from the healing that you did, you know, studying Buddhism and practicing that, as well as A Course of Miracles, were you always interested in writing and film? Is that...
Well, I have a very creative family. I have three super talented older brothers who are phenomenal musicians. My mother was a songwriter and a bit of a poet. She ended up being an editor of a newspaper. So I was very fortunate to be the youngest of these three older brothers. So I was always kind of forced to keep up with them. I mean, even the conversations around the dinner table were just so high level that I often found when I got back to friends my own age that things were moving a little bit slow. So I was very blessed to be able to experience that. But I always had a keen interest in philosophy and physics and stuff like that, but I didn't really find my calling until I developed an interest in spirituality. because that to me is where your time is best spent, because you're actually our spirit more than anything else in this world. So when you study things of that nature, you're actually doing work that is relevant and that will probably stick with you for eons, rather than studying things of this world, which will dissipate the second you leave your bodily form. But I have a keen interest in creativity. I was a copywriter at a wonderful agency called the Phelps Group in Santa Monica, California, and I worked on all music accounts, and that was really fun. But then when I started learning all the spirituality, remember, I left the Phelps Group because I just knew there was something more I wanted to do, and it was to use all these different vehicles to deliver spiritual teachings, as I said earlier, in mediums that people are more able to ingest and more comfortable ingesting than necessarily picking up a spiritual book and reading it.
Okay. So you had that interest already, and then just decided to use that as a medium for this.
Yeah, for sure. I love creating. I mean, it's like it's all I do all day, all night. You know, I'm single. I don't have family. I kind of consider the whole world my family in a sense. Not to sound cheesy, but it's like I like doing work which can impact the whole world. And so it's a true joy. And when you are doing work that you feel can lift other people up, and you know that we're all unified on a deeper level, then you're actually doing work for yourself. Because to give is to receive. There's no difference. So now it's taken over my life, and we have a lot of things that we're doing that enable me to get this out. I've got a wonderful manager by the name of Trish Riley, who has come on board, who is introducing me to a lot of important people who can kind of get some things done. And we're launching something probably in the next couple months called the Peace Entertainment Project. And this will be a fiscal sponsorship, which will give fiscal sponsorships to people like myself who like to write films and stuff that are actually good for the audience and water the correct seeds in the mind. So not only will they be able to raise money from folks, and it'll be tax deductible for those folks, but we'll also be giving grants to these people, because having been in this position myself, I know how hard it is to get a sniff from Hollywood when you want to do meaningful work and work that doesn't cater to the reptilian lobe. The unfortunate thing about Hollywood is that at some point along the line, it learned it could guarantee an audience when it wrote to the animal brain. And that's as easy as driving down the road and you turn your car into an embankment and crash, and you'll get the same type of an audience a lot of these shows get. Well, our mission at Peace Entertainment Project, and a lot of other great people doing this type of work, is to water the right seeds in the mind. Because when you go into a movie theater and you watch a film that's built on vengeance and violence, it doesn't end there. Any part of your mind that you're using is a muscle, and it grows. So when you walk out of that movie theater and then you get in your car on the way home and someone cuts you off, it's more likely that you're going to use those same muscles of vengeance to get angry at that person. So there is damage to the content that we ingest. So the Peace Entertainment Project is a way to give a hand up to all the wonderful creators, talented people all around the world who are trying to do this work but can't get any money for it. So that's going to be the mission of this organization, and it will be a nonprofit too.
I love that. Now, we've got a couple of questions from different people in the chat about the mind. I'm confused that mind has a big emphasis. Is the mind your soul or part of the soul? Somebody else is asking, is it the facilitator of your soul, not the body? So I guess if you can explain a little bit about mind, soul, how you were looking at that.
Sure. Yeah. You could use, similar terms. It's the part of you that continues on beyond the body. Some people would call it the soul. Some people would call it the mind. But for me, it is the universal mind that a lot of great teachers have spoken about, that is the reliable source from which the physical world springs forth. It's where this all comes from. In a sense, you could say that the world of physicality that we live in is just a dream of a portion of the mind. Just as when you go to bed at night and you have these incredibly technicolor dreams and you're actually feeling other people's bodies in your dreams and your heart rate is getting raised and all that stuff, well, I think the same thing is true when you wake up. And I think our dreams at night are kind of giving us a clue that what we're experiencing here in life is actually just a dream of separation, and it's not reality. And it's the mind that carries on when you leave the body. It's the mind that those spiritual masters who are able to pierce the veil of the physical world are able to tap into, like the Buddha, folks like that. So that's just what I'm calling it. But if you want to learn more about that particular belief system, I would recommend looking into the teachings of Kenneth Wapnick, who's my personal spiritual mentor. He's a wonderful teacher of A Course in Miracles. And the premise of A Course in Miracles is that this is just a dream of separation. And so, therefore, you must forgive your brothers and sisters for what they did not do, because this is actually just something that you've dreamt up. And I can speak from personal experience that this is an amazingly healing way to look at the world, because it lifts you out of the battleground of the world and gets you beyond the world. And by getting out of the world, you're actually much more of a positive asset to the world. And in the end, even if you don't believe some of its premises, I found it to be a wonderful psychological structure for finding inner peace, because it's the only type of forgiveness that really works. Because when you forgive and you don't forget, you're not really forgiving. You're just holding on to a grievance.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a really critical thing. And as the maxim says, holding a grievance is like injecting yourself with poison and thinking it's going to kill your enemy. It doesn't work. That's just another way that the ego holds up the separated world. So to truly get beyond the world, you have to see it for what it really is, which is just a temporary dream of separation, which will all eventually go away and will all be eventually rejoined in the unity state that is permanent, and that actually we never left because we're just having kind of a bad dream.
Wow. Wow. So it goes back again to that oneness principle, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the key to everything.
Yeah. Amazing. Now, you have also, I wanted to talk about, you have a couple of projects that, of course, you have your book, what we've been talking about, Mind What Matters, A Pep Talk for Humanity, and the first film, Admissions, and then The Principle, which I want to touch on. But I also want to let people know that you also have crowdfunding. I believe it's on CrowdRise site, which is raising money for the cyberbullying film, The Principle. So maybe we can start with that. Yeah, so with that crowd, the site's CrowdRise, and it's a crowdfunding site. Is that the one that you were talking about for the sponsors or the grants, or is this to go into the schools? What exactly, I guess, if you can explain a little bit.
Well, The Principal is a dramatic teaching film on cyberbullying. It's going to be directed by Academy Award nominee James Cromwell, who was the star of my film Admissions, which is about the Middle East conflict and the power of forgiveness. So he's going to be directing it, and the actual website is www.crowdrise.com/theprinciple1, and that's where we're raising money for the film. And yes, it will be included in my peace education program for schools, colleges, and universities called A Pep Talk for Humanity. And that program includes Admissions, which is my film about forgiveness. It also includes a play called The Resolution, in which I've adapted Admissions, my film about forgiveness, and The Principle, my film about cyberbullying, into a hybrid three-act play in which the third act makes the audience the star of the show, because they're invited into the play in a Q&A session. And the play debuted in Canada in March, and it was very powerful. My favorite part, of course, was hearing what the audience had to say and to hear them start to utilize their higher minds and really get comfortable that it was a really beautiful thing to witness. So that's, we're already putting that out to schools, and if anyone's interested in possibly bringing that to their school, they can let me know, either college or school. But when we get The Principle done, that will be in a short film format, about 20-minute film, probably total. And the thing I love about short films is that they have a really easy ability to go viral, because they don't demand a lot of your time to watch. And I know with Admissions, my first film, that also is a 20-minute film, we never put any money into promoting the film, but on its own, it was translated into 5 languages and broadcast to 80 million people worldwide into the Middle East. And it just did that all on its own because probably some of the powerful teachings in it, which were based on Buddhism and A Course in Miracles. So I'm a big believer in short films as a way to get in and get out quickly, deliver a lot of impact, and then leave time afterwards for class discussions. And that's why I have all these other short films written about all these other societal challenges, which I hope to get made too. So that's kind of the story on the principle. If anyone would like to donate, please welcome them to go to crowdrise.com, and you can read a little bit more about the film there.
Now, when you do these films and you bring them into the school, are they is there talks as well? Do you do talks with you?
And I have a discussion guide for admissions, and if anyone wants to see admissions, they can go to peacenow.com. Peacenow.com is a 1 billion person online signature campaign to enact a United Nations global resolution that I was very fortunate to help draft that creates peace departments and ministries of peace and governments worldwide. And I'm co-founder of peacenow.com. Scott Brewer, wonderful friend of mine, is the founder. And if you go to the homepage there, peacenow.com, there's a link where you can watch admissions for free. And you can then sign our resolution, and you can send it around to everyone you know, and we'd be very, very grateful, because the new person who's head of the UN just came in and he said he wants to make peace their first priority, and this global resolution does just that. Because by establishing peace departments and governments around the world, what we're actually doing on a deeper level is we're building up the muscles of peace in our world, so in the tug of war for our future, the muscles of peace will have more collective strength.
So it really is starting that each individual, you know, each coming together.
Yeah, and I think in two ways. I think, first of all, they can sign the petition, but then I think if you turn yourself into a peace department, you're going to live a much more heavenly life. And it's a very simple way to do that, and that is just to create shared interests and common ground with everyone you meet. Look beyond the bodily differences that are trying to tell you that you're different from them. Look beyond the religious and the cultural differences, the political differences, and find something that ties you into them. Usually it's your shared suffering, because nothing will soften the hearts quicker than when you see someone else's suffering. And when you do that, you have then created shared interests with them, and now you and that person are on the same page. So everyone in this world, if they adjust the way they look at the world, can be their own peace department. You don't need to have the United Nations establish peace departments. You can do the work in every single encounter. If you meet the clerk at the convenience store and you ask them a question, how are they doing, and you truly listen to the answer, and you actually feel what they're saying and you respond accordingly and you connect with them and you lift them up, well, guess what? You're a peace department. And not only are they lifted up, but you're lifted up, and you become an asset to yourself and the world, and everyone you meet becomes your partner in peace.
Wow. That is so true, though. Denise in the chat is putting, it's a game changer. Yeah, if we would take that on, just be, you know, I know there's that cliche saying, but it's so true, that peace begins with me. You know, I think there's a song with it, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, right? I mean, it's
exactly.
I think sometimes there's so much things we want to accomplish, but the people trying to accomplish it aren't actually living it, you know, not starting with themselves.
Yeah, and once again, we must just have compassion for folks like that, because at least they're trying to accomplish it, and they're somewhere on their journey. And I think it's helpful to remember that everyone is on their own pace. And so you want to let people be at their own pace. Like, you wouldn't get mad if you walked out into the jungle and you saw some animal run by and they weren't very spiritually advanced. You'd say that wonderful animal is exactly where they need to be right now in their spiritual journey. So if you look at the world that way, then you don't take offense at everyone, and you're just there to cheer everyone on. One of the chapters in my book is called Humanity is My Home Team. And the reason this is important is when you look at the world that way, then you get to celebrate so many more victories, and you get to rid your mind and your mentality of the dreaded us versus them way of thinking, which leads to so much conflict.
What?
So I think once again, it comes down to turning your mind into an ally by cultivating unconditional love for all folks. So in this way, when you go out in the world every day, it's actually kind of fun, because you're looking for ways to connect with everyone. And if someone is really brutal to you, you don't get mad. You try to offer them a hand up, and you feel good that you were, you know, an agent of positive change for them, and you had compassion for them. And even if they don't hear the love that you're giving them, on a deeper level, it lands in the seeds of their store consciousness, and it will manifest later down the road. It might not even be in this lifetime. But no spiritual effort is ever wasted in this world. That's very important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I play my film in missions for someone who doesn't totally get it, I rejoice. I'm like, all right, well, that's the perfect person who I want to see this film, because it landed somewhere, and maybe down the road they'll be the one creating a film like Admissions.
Mm. Yes, and we've got our listener participant, Denise in Australia, saying Save's getting all judgy. Yeah, can you speak a little bit about judgment? That seems, from what I'm hearing from you, to cause a lot of separation.
Yeah, judgment is the key to misery, because when you judge others, all you're really doing is condemning yourself to hell. Because if you think about it, all you've really done is you've created a demon in your mind through separation that you create, and now that demon in your mind that you're holding a grievance against is now going to prod you with its proverbial pitchfork throughout every day. So judgment is the first dead weight you need to lose from your psyche if you ever want to ascend to higher states in this world. There is no wisdom in judgment. The only wisdom is the relinquishment of judgment. And this is such a critical point. You are only hurting yourself when you judge others. You're much more of an evolved being if you're the one who gives people a hand up than if you're the type of person that gives people a beat down.
Mm. Love that. Oh, that's so powerful. So powerful. Now, John, I had the chance to read, which is just phenomenal, The Principle, you took a different approach. And I think we had discussed, like, you know, you're reaching, you know, a wide audience, but also especially in schools, targeting a younger audience, which has, you know, a shorter attention span. But yet you're imparting deeper spiritual principles and ways of looking at life more consciously, you know, bringing more consciousness in the world view. Can you touch a little bit on the principle and why you chose the format that you?
Well, once again, it's a companion piece to Admissions, so they work really well back to back, because in The Principle, something bad happens on Earth, and they go into the Bardot state between lives. They learn teachings, and then they go back to Earth, where they can apply these teachings. In the Admissions, something bad happens on Earth, they learn deep teachings that enable them to enter heaven through forgiveness. So when you put these two together, they really cover the whole span of the human experience. The teachings in it, they are classic, and I think that they're enduring, but I think that they're accessible, because one of the things I try to do is to try to come up with a story that everyone can relate to, so they're following along in the story and being kind of being engrossed in the drama, but while that's happening, they're also picking up things which can serve them for the rest of their life. And once again, The Principle preaches kindness. It does not preach, you know, you got to be tougher with the bully, you got to do this. No, it's about loving the bully, because that is the ultimate strength for the victim. It's not to hate the bully. It's to learn to love the bully, because then you transcend the bully, and then you have a chance of bringing the bully up. And I think that's a valuable lesson for all of life, because there's so many things in this world that we feel bullied by. But with a proper mindset, you can appreciate them with compassion, understand that everyone on Earth is struggling, everyone on Earth is suffering, and everyone on Earth, without exception, needs love. And if you get to be the provider of that love, you get to have such a more exalted existence and just such a more rewarding time, because the most rewarding thing in all of life is to lift someone else up and see the joy in their eyes when you have done so.
You know, it's a real paradigm shift, what you're talking about, you know, the lifting up. And that loving the bully, which I so agree with. I mean, I've never seen anybody bully that didn't feel that either wasn't bullied, you know, usually in their family of origin, but that didn't feel disconnected, didn't feel you know, non-love, non-accepted as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And
yeah,
if we can oh my gosh, right?
Yeah, and I think if you look just a little deeper into their past, you'll usually find the reason why they've turned into a bully. I mean, okay, every now and then people just might have been born with a predisposition for anger, but that also deserves compassion. That's not fun either, but if you look deep, a lot of times people who are bullies to others were bullied in some way in their own life or had some lack of love on some level. So once again, the last thing a bully needs who has an absence of love in their heart is our condemnation. They need love. You want to heal people, you need to fill them with love, because love, as you were saying earlier when I was listening to your beautiful dialogue with the previous caller, love is stronger than anything else in the world. The ego makes you believe in hatred and stuff like that, but it's just an illusion. It's love that heals all, and not conditional love, it's unconditional love. That is the most healing thing in all the universe. And when you get to practice that on everyone who comes your way, well, guess what? You get to be an unconditionally loving being, and that is the most rewarding form of life, in my humble opinion.
Mm. What do you say to people to how do they move into that space of being able to, and I love what you said about the forgiveness. There is the forgetting too. So it's not just, I forgive you. You're saying you have to really move on from it.
Yeah, it takes study and repetition. The mind is very resistant to change. So the reason it's called spiritual practice is because it takes a lot of practice, and it's not an easy road. People tend to make fun of people on the spiritual path, where it's the hardest path of all, because you're going against, you know, the instincts of your ego and the animal brain. So you really need to stick with it. And so my experience has been through continuous study of teachings like Buddhism, A Course in Miracles, you know, the Rig Veda, Dhammapada, all these great spiritual books. I mean, every single day I start my day with studies, because it's a muscle of the mind, and it just constantly needs to be trained over and over again. I mean, you can have setback one day, but if you wake up the next day, reaffirm what you are, reaffirm that you want to be an unconditionally loving being, and start to understand that being unconditionally loving is what's best for you, then suddenly at a certain point it just kicks in, and you no longer have to think about it. You just walk out in the world, and you process the world that way rather than have to think about it. And one last thing I'd like to say about that, the key to staying in that good state of mind is when you find yourself in an unforgiving state of mind, the quickest way to get back into your higher mind is to forgive yourself. So be most forgiving of all to yourself. So that's the most important person to forgive in this life is yourself. And when you start to do that, you will no longer be holding on to guilt and stuff that makes you need to project that out in an attack of others. And then unconditional love will come more natural to you.
Mm. Wow, it always goes back to us. And I love what you say about the practice. You know, I notice a difference. If I don't start my day with my spiritual practice, my meditation, the thing, you know, that I do, it can always regroup. Not to say sometimes you spring up and everything is just in alignment, but there is a little, I don't know, a little extra juice, a little extra something. A little extra communing, you know, with God consciousness in starting that way.
Absolutely. Just reaffirm what you are, and better chance you'll be able to hold on to that as you lead yourself through your day, for sure.
Absolutely. Oh, John, this has been wonderful. We're winding out of time now, and I know you're uber, uber busy, and just the producer said came back from, I believe, Thailand or something. So I'm glad you could take the time to be with us here at Awakenings and share with us. We really appreciate you being on the program. So thanks for taking the time.
Michelle, my pleasure. You're doing wonderful work. You're a beacon of light in this universe, and keep up the wonderful work. And I hope to see you soon, okay?
Yeah, me too. Look forward to it.
All right.
Catching up.
Take care.
All right. Much peace. You too. Bye. All right, everyone. Oh, my God. The chat is so buzzing and warm. Have an unconditional loving week, everyone. Thanks, Michelle and John. Thank you, Crystal Bowles Retina. Thank you, everyone in the chat, everyone listening by phone and also listening via the archives on iTunes or BTR. Speaking of that, please leave your appreciation feedback on iTunes. That's a wonderful way to show gratitude for the new year, and it'll be much appreciated. I just want to recount our guest today was John Viscount. You can find out more information by going to johnviscount.com, and that's John, JohnViscount.com. His book is Mind What Matters, A Pep Talk for Humanity. And then we're also discussing Admissions and The Principal, which are two short format films on forgiveness, anti-cyberbullying, really moving into that love and that oneness. And if you want to find out more information about the film, The Principal, and helping out on that, or getting that in your schools, you could go to johnviscount.com as well as peacenow.com, or his crowdfunding focus, which is on the site CrowdRise. Wow, another great guest, another great time with all of you. It's really been great to be with all of you here. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. If you didn't get your questions answered or you didn't get a reading, I'm here next week, and we do it the first half of the program. So love, light, and blessings to all of you. Continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.